Just want to exhort a minute. You've already signed up to the ways of the Spirit here, and we're learning to keep His word. Your greatest enemy is not one without, it's one within. And birthing the promises of God, your greatest enemies is not your circumstance. They'll always be there right up until the time of the birth, and the birth just completely obliterates your enemies. Amen to that. So your enemies is not one without, because whatever's going on the outside doesn't have the power to stop the promise. The only thing that has the power to stop the promise is what's going on the inside. That has the power to circumvent the promise of God. The promise upon its birth will obliterate all the circumstances that were contrary to it. So the fact that the enemy just keeps piling circumstances upon you, that doesn't mean anything. Because the circumstance, no more than could it stop Abraham wearing a dead body, Sarah carrying around a dead womb, none of that. In fact, God had pleasure in birthing out of that. In fact, He waited, made Abraham wait, so He couldn't help him out no more. So your circumstance around you, even though it has the ability to affect you, doesn't affect the promise. Only what you allow inside of the temple within has the ability to stop the promise. So you have to guard the heart with all diligence. He didn't even say guard it with diligence. He said with all diligence. You have to guard what's coming in. You have to guard forces that will disrupt the operation of God within. And you have to continue. If you're going to sign up for this, if you're going to be a birther and you are learning how to birth from heaven, intercede out of the right hand of God, you don't go in the right hand of God shouting things. You go in the right hand of God carrying His words. His words will speak much louder than our words any day. But it's the words we keep in our heart. We have to keep things out that we're going to constantly try to get in. You open a little door when you walk at this level. Just open a small door. It can become a mountainous thing to deal with. An enemy, he'll come in with a crack and just roll through that. You have to keep your temple sealed. You have to keep the tabernacle of God sealed. You have to keep yourself in the peace of God. You have to stay under the shadow of the Almighty. You can't allow yourself to just let go. We're too far past that. Amen. You don't get a chance to just lay down because things didn't go your way. Well, I think I'll just check out. You don't get to do that. Because you check out at this level, the enemy will roll over you. And then he'll keep rolling over you. And he'll keep rolling over you because he won't stop because you're dangerous now. You're dangerous because what you possess. You're dangerous because the information and the revelation and what you carry inside makes you dangerous. When David was anointed by Samuel to be a king, it made him dangerous, the fact that he was anointed. The fact he took Goliath down made him dangerous. The enemy would not stop tracking him down. Saul would not stop tracking him down. He became but a flea in his own eyes. He goes, I'm but a flea in my own eyes. And he goes, yet you won't stop pursuing me. The enemy was never going to stop pursuing until he had his lights cut out, because he knew the danger of what he possessed and carried. Even though he had him wandering about in caves and dens in the wilderness, he still possessed something that transformed the world. It was just locked up inside him. What you have locked up inside of you makes you much more dangerous. Much more dangerous than anything you can see, because what's locked up within you can transform the world you live in. It can transform the generation you. One word. Now we know the generations were framed by the word of God. So the things that are seen are not made by the things which do appear. One word being carried in an individual believer can transform and frame the generation they live in. That word has the power to do that. That's what makes you dangerous, but you can't check out and you can't let your heart open. And the enemy, he's devious. He'll try to come in any way he can. He's constantly looking for an inroad. Constantly looking for an inroad. So I just want to exhort a minute out of Psalms 37. Very powerful psalm. You should know this psalm in and out, backwards and forwards, because this psalm mentions inheritance six times and a seventh time indirectly. Seven times reference an inheritance. There's no other chapter in the Bible that even comes close to that. It's the pathway to inheritance. This psalm has so many facets in it. We're in Mount Hebron, and I want to actually pray into Mount Hebron today. You're operating in this new facet. Operating as an intercessor in the right hand of God is different than operating here. You don't even deal with the devil in the right hand of God because you're above him. When you're up in the right hand of God, you wrestle here with principalities and powers, but you never wrestle in the right hand of God because that place is above the principalities and the powers of this age. They don't go in there. They have no access. You bring the word of God. You bring God's word to him there. You sit as an intercessor in the right hand of God, keeping his word, representing his word, acknowledging his word, decreeing his word, and seeing his word. All of those facets, operations happen in the right hand of God. But you deal with an enemy here. Amen? You got to keep yourself in the peace of God. The way you do that is you stay in God. Amen? We're going to stay there till at birth. Amen? Glory to God. Way too far in this anyway. Hallelujah. Psalm 37 verse 1, fret not. Big is you. Do not fret. Fret, worry, anxiety. That is a major form of unbelief. It's an operation of Amalek. Weary, tiresome human labor. You don't have to put your hand to something to be in human sufficiency. You can fret about it all day long. Worrying is a way of man's way of trying to figure out how you're going to get this done. How you're going to make this happen. How this mountain is going to move, fretting about things that you have no power over in the natural. You have to surrender the fretting. You cannot allow fretting to go on in your spirit. You can pick up fretting just like that. You start worrying about something, allowing yourself to get too far into something. Your heart will pick up a fretting. It'll just constantly be moved about, unsettled. You don't birth from an unsettled heart. You birth from a settled place. The anchor, this word becomes your anchor. You have to have an anchor. If you don't have an anchor, your emotions will go everywhere. It'll go right, left, up, down, all around. Verse 3, trust in the Lord. That's easier said than done. When you get into birthing, you're going to get many, many opportunities to trust in something that's not of the Lord. You can trust in man, trust in yourself. Try to circumvent, substitute, bypass the word of God and the ways of God for the ways of man. We have to constantly be refocusing, constantly be recentering, constantly be recalibrating our trust. Constantly. It's very easy to trust in something else. Sometimes you don't even know you're doing it. The word of God has to show you you're doing it. Sometimes you have no idea. You have to recalibrate that trust. Always putting it back in the Lord, always putting it back in his promises, always keeping that heart full of peace. Amen. Keep you in perfect peace when thy mind is stayed upon thee. That will keep me in perfect peace. Peace, peace. Double portion of peace with my mind. You got to keep your heart and mind stayed. Say stayed. That's the way it is with God. If you're going to walk with God and do something great and birth something great, you got to stay very close. You will not get this done by detaching. You can't. You can't afford to do it. It takes too long to get realigned. We are learning to be intercessors of the right hand of God. That's what I'm believing God for, is to raise up intercession from the right hand of God. How to truly carry a promise and represent a promise. See a promise. Acknowledge a promise in the right hand of God, operating from that place, from that position. Hallelujah forever. The enemy hates you because of what you know. He hates it because he knows he has no access to that place. He only has access when you come back here. So you got to constantly stay covered. Stay connected. Stay covered. Keep your trust aligned. Keep your heart aligned. Keep fretting, anxiety. Keep all of that out. Works inside. Internal works. It's anxiety of man trying to produce a way that only God's way is going to perform. Amen. Verse 4, very good. Delight thyself in the Lord. You're going to have plenty of opportunities. Plenty of opportunities. Delight is something you'll have to actually engage in at times. The enemy will constantly paint a picture around you. It's not going to happen. constantly painting a weary and a drabbiness. He's constantly trying to do that. Why? He wants you to engage his picture of who you are. He wants you to engage his vision of what he wants you to be. So he's constantly around. See, this is his arena. His battleground is the earth, the systems of this world. So we have to keep ourselves in a position of delight. You have to keep joy. Joy is not easy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Joy, you have to keep joy. In this day and hour, you have to keep and maintain an operation of joy. And I'm not talking about going, ha, 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 ha. I'm talking about you got to stay where joy lives. Joy lives with God. Joy is a fruit of abiding in Christ. You got to constantly partake of the peace and partake of the joy and stay in a position of delight in the Word. It's easy to move from delight to fretting, to murmuring and complaining. Children of Israel did not keep their delight in the Lord. Only a few of them did. They moved quickly to murmuring. You'll know when you lose your joy because you'll move very quickly into the state of murmuring and complaining. Everything will be negative. Everything will be doom, despair, agony on me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. Delight. You got to keep that. Delight. There are major facets to being an inheritor. You have to learn these. Amen. Constantly working on them. If you want to work, what must we do to work the works of God? Believe. He'll put you to work because there are things you do in the Spirit that are not works. Keeping yourself in the joy of the Lord is a work of God. Keeping your trust in the Lord is a work of God. Keeping anxiety and fretting out of your spirit is a sanctioned work of God. Those are things you do. You can't just say, oh, it's not me. I have nothing to do with this. I'm just going to lay down until you do that. Nothing will ever happen. You don't do it that way. You have a position. You have a part. The part you cannot do is get in the way. The part you cannot do is manufacture in the flesh. The part you cannot do is get yourself involved with the equation. The part you do, you got to know what you do and you got to know what God does. You have to have a very clear understanding of what is my responsibility, what is God's responsibility. I cannot manifest the promise. That is the Holy Spirit's responsibility. So I cannot engage that part of it, but I do. He gave you a commandment. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it will flow the issues of life. You have a responsibility. Everyone say, I have a responsibility. May not like it, but you do. You want to give up and lay down? That won't work either. The enemy will just begin. He does not fight fairly. He'd love for you to lay down. Lower your guard and he'll just start walloping on you. Have you ever had that? He just wanted to quit. He never quits. One thing about him, you can give him credit for this. He is one determined foe. He's persistent and determined. He doesn't like giving up an inch because he understands in the kingdom if he gives it up, it will multiply against him, and he knows it. It will multiply to a level he has no authority over, and he knows that, so he tries to stop it at its birth. There's a reason why he tried to wipe out all the children, all the firstborn of Egypt and all the firstborn of Bethlehem. He wanted to wipe them out before the birth because he knows once the birth happens, he can't stop it. He goes hard after the birth. He comes hard at it. Commit, verse 5. See, delight is that they'll give you the desires of your heart. When you're far into this, God's desire has already been planted in your heart. God plants his word. God plants his kingdom in your heart. Hallelujah. Commit thy way unto the Lord. This is a calibration. It's an alignment scripture. Constantly committing your way, constantly committing God's word. Roll your way upon the Lord. See, you got to roll your ways. You got to keep yourself aligned. Keep the vision aligned, constantly committing it to the Lord because the enemy will try to get you to commit your vision to his system. That's what's wrong with the church. They commit their vision to the systems of the world. We can commit ourselves to a church growth seminar, have a whole bunch of sheep to go nowhere and say, this is what God looks like. Let's all pattern after this. Every young believer get born again. This is what God looks like. And they all go after the same image, the same system. We've got to constantly commit and roll, Commit, enroll. Part of that's also rolling out the cares, rolling out the heaviness, rolling the burdens out constantly. Come to y'all that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Roll your burden upon the Lord. Cast it. Cast it. Commit. See, I'm constantly with the Constitution. I'm committing the vision to the Lord. I'm staying focused. One of the greatest things you'll ever, 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 ever learn is focus. You have to learn focus in the kingdom of God. If you don't learn focus, the enemy, he always wants to scatter the sheep. He wants to scatter your vision. See, he's scattering all the time. See, that's what they did in the beginning. The Tower of Babel, they focused in. God had to scatter the languages. That's what he did. He scattered. That's where he scattered all the language. They wouldn't do that again. See, it's that focus. But the kingdom, we are called to focus in. You got to move your focus. That's where you have to have the word. The constitutions are so great because they keep you focused in. This is how you become a birther. Amen. There are facilitators and they're birthers. Right now, we are birthers. There's a lot of people running around for the Lord. Thank God. We need that to happen. But then God wants to birth something new. He's got to get you to sit down. Right now, we're in a seated position. We're in a seat because he wants to birth something new. And then he'll bring the facilitators on in it, and they'll get to get on free. We birth. Hallelujah. But you get the reward for birthing it. Hallelujah. Amen to that. God will bring all the facilitators in due time. But he wants to birth this government. Hallelujah. Commit. Roll your works upon the Lord. Roll your works. Trust in him. See, you roll it upon him. You keep it into him. You don't keep it upon yourself. You don't keep it upon others. You roll it upon him. You got to constantly bring it right back to him. The enemy will try to get you to attach your vision to a man. And when you do that, it creates a misalignment. Men will ultimately help you along the way. God may open a door like he did with Joseph, a Pharaoh. But you got to keep your heart fixed to God. You got to let God do it and not ourselves. Amen. We're constantly trying to figure out how this is going to happen. That's the way the soul is. Doesn't like the rest. You got to bring it under subjection to the Almighty. Bring the body into subjection to the Almighty. It's a constant bringing into subjection, rolling everything back into him, rolling it into a subjection. Hallelujah. Last one. This is really good here. Verse 7, rest. See, come in. And the product of all of this is a rest. Rest in the Lord, not rest on the couch. You know, you can go on vacation and be more worn out. Everybody ever been on vacation that's supposed to give you rest and you come back worn out before you left? Because flesh doesn't know how to sit still. It says rest in the Lord. See, we come in, we come out, everything comes to rest. That's what you're looking for. Staying in the rest. Moving in the rest. He said, he that entered my rest, he ceased from his own labors. See, you're ceasing from all of that stuff. We come into the state of rest. We hold into the state of rest. We stay in the rest. We stay in the position of rest. We stay rest in the Lord. We rest in the Lord. And then we wait patiently. It's easy to wait when you're in the rest. It's very difficult to wait when you're not in the rest. Rest is a place and a position. It makes waiting a lot easier. When you're not resting, waiting's very difficult. Nobody will ever birth without true patience and true rest. God bursts out of a position of rest, not from a position of anxiety, not from a position of being unsettled. Everything about you should stay settled. See, when I get unsettled, man, I'm going to find out why. Because I'm used to being settled now. I'm settled in these words. So I stay settled. But when I let something in, sometimes you don't know what you let in. Sometimes you can't always, you're just not, I'm not that smart. You might be, but I'm not. I don't always know when I let something in. The enemy, he's been at this a lot longer than I have. He understands how to get in. What I do is I discern what's going on around me. I discern a fruit. What I mean by that, when I'm at unrest, it might be unrest for a little bit, but that's no big deal. But if I start entering into a position of being unrest, I'm waking up. I'm going to bed. unrest. Something's going on. I have come out of alignment somewhere. So I got to go to the Lord and said, where am I out of alignment? What have I done? What's happened? You know, I have to seek him and find out what I did, because it's not his problem, I can assure you. This is number one. God's never at fault. Never. Never his fault. I mean, you can get upset with him and shake your fist and all that, but it ain't going to help. You can go kick the walls. I used to do that. Doesn't help. Only for a babe will God respond to that kind of thing. He does not respond to self-pity. You can throw fits all day long. Once you grow up, he doesn't do that. God does not respond. When you start becoming a full-age son and daughter, he does not respond to self-pity. He only responds to his word. So you got to find out what's going on. If you're at unrest, if you're anxiety, if something's going on. See, those are tells. If you're frustrated, something's happening. My spirit, man, it'll start going off on the inside. Like, man, what is going on? Oh, see, I'm a feeler. I feel everything. I don't like it sometimes, but I do. I can feel when somebody walks in the room sometime that's got a bad spirit. I don't even have to look at them. I can feel it. I can feel when something's off. I don't like it. Seers probably don't like to see everything. I don't like feeling everything. I wish God just shut that down sometime. I don't like to feel everything. But it's good when it's into God, because you get the explosiveness of all that passion too, which is great. When you're looking for what's wrong, it gnaws on you. It's like, and I don't always know what it is. You've got to constantly be guarding your heart. Measure the signs around you. Discern your signs. Discern when something's off. Something's off, God's trying to tell you it's off. Get it recalibrated. Get it back in alignment. When you get in alignment, you will have peace. When you're in alignment, you're going to have rest. If you're doing what God's asking you to do and understanding how to operate like this, you have peace, rest, and delight. Amen? So that's what we're looking for, is to stay calibrated and keeping his word, because the enemy wants this word, but he can't have it. He wants to stop this, but he can't stop it. We're way too far in now. Hallelujah. We know too much. God's taught us too much. We're going to birth this thing, and there's nothing he can do about it. I don't even like being agitated anymore. I don't want to give him that place. You just got to keep yourself. Amen. So learn that. Just wait patiently upon him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Don't fret because of what's going on with somebody else. What's going on with somebody else has nothing to do with you. Stop measuring yourself by what's happening with somebody else. Well, they got this, they got that. If Joseph were to measure himself by what was going on between him and his brothers, he's suffering in the pit, and his brothers are all fine. Who is God with, him or his brothers? You cannot measure your circumstance whether God's with you or not. Who is God with, his brothers or him? He's in a pit, and God said, I'm with you. I'm about to position you. I got to get you to Egypt, and these Moabites going to take you there. So who was with God with? His brothers? Well, they didn't suffer any. They didn't inherit either. They had to wait for Joseph to inherit, and they got in on his inheritance. So listen, don't measure about what's going on around others. Measure what God has said to you. He's with you. He's with us. He's with these words. God is not going to ever. His word's not going to fail. He upholds everything by the word of his power and the word of his grace. The whole kingdom's withheld. These words are not going to fail. They can't fail. They will supersede the systems of this world. They're going to supersede sickness and disease at the highest levels. They're going to supersede blindness and deafness, and paraplegics, chromosome disorders, death itself. These words, this operation of the Spirit is going to supersede. These living waters, when they flow against the Dead Sea, are going to transform the Dead Sea, and everything that's dead will live. These words are going to do that. They're going to supersede the economies of the world. They're going to supersede the control of debt and the control of mammon that's trying to take over the world. They'll supersede that. They'll multiply against it. Father, these words are power. These words are grace. One other thing. Verse 14, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord in rest. Wait on the Lord in trust. Wait on the Lord in rest. Trust. Waiting on the Lord, rolling your cares upon Him, rolling your works upon Him, rolling the vision upon Him. Wait on the Lord with delight in your heart. Keep His way. Keep His way. Verse 34, keep His way and He will exalt thee to inherit the land. We keep His way. We keep His way. You don't know trouble if you enter into your calling and then back out of it. You don't even know what trouble is. A person who's ever entered their calling or entered into the glory and they back out of it, that person will never have rest. That person will have enemies all the time. Any man draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. You don't get to draw back. It's not an option. You know, a centurion, if he was on the soldier and Rome sent him directions, and that centurion said, we're going to be overtaken here. And Rome said, stay and fight. They would fight to their death. That's what they would do. That's what a soldier does. Amen. Well, I'm fighting for life. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord wants to encourage us today.